for a good reason. So we are in week three of Tighten the Knot. And as I have said every week that we started this, our church runs the gamut of marriage, okay? We have some that are married, we have some that are not. We have some that have been divorced, we have some that haven't been divorced. We have some that are going through hard times in their marriage now. We have others that got divorced, never got remarried. We run the gamut here, okay? But what I want us to do with this message series is understand that God came up and created the perfect plan for husband and wife. Sin's what messed it up. If you go into the New Testament in, I think it was Matthew, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, God created marriage and sin messed it up. We also have talked about the fact that we know that Satan doesn't like family, that he's going to try to break up every marriage that he can. And if he can't break it up, he's going to make it miserable. And I know some people, you know, we make jokes about it and everything a lot of the time, you know. I think there's a comedian out there that somebody said, well, how long have you been happily married? And he went, 5 years. And the person went, you've been married a lot longer than 5 years. He goes, yeah, but only five of them were happy years, you know. And sadly to say, that's probably true of a lot of marriages in America and in the world in which we live, because Satan fights so hard. Those of you that are married, right now, you can probably attest to the fact that you might fight more on the way to church than any other time during the week. They say that Christian couples fight more on Sunday morning on the way to church than any other time. And then you have to come into the church and act like you're all happy, you know? And it's just, it messes everything up, you know? So marriage is a great institution created by God, but it takes work, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and sometimes, you know, life stinks. But the more we can realize our part and how to try to tighten the knot, the better the marriages that are existing that we're talking about right now, the better they can be. So, we're going to read out of Hebrews this morning. It's kind of a general exhortation as the writer ends the letter to the people. But he mentions marriage in there, and he mentions a couple of specific things that I think we need to take to heart. So stand with me this morning. Let's say our creed, and then let's read our passage together. Oh, I forgot to do something, but we'll do it later. So, Bev, work with me here. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I will put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. My scripture stuff not in there? It's not? Really? Nothing's in there? All right. Okay. Should be something after that. Go through that really quick and we'll go back. There we go. Okay. Next slide. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 13, 1 through 8. I forget what I'm doing half the time, so we're all right. All right. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with all that you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we end that passage emphatically with "You are the same yesterday, today, and forever," may we look at what marriage was created to be and never lessen it, never take it for granted, never try to water it down. Help us to be all that You want us to be. I ask this in Your name. Amen. You may be seated. Go back to the other slide. I told you I was going to give you some fun things to do or whatever. Three ways to show grace in your marriage. Like I said, we fight, we argue. We don't. Well, some of us fight. We argue. We have disagreements. We choose to voice our differences of opinion at times. And at times in our marriages, we need to be able to show grace. And so, three things just to help you show grace in your marriage this morning. Number one, forgive each other as God forgave you. Okay? He loves you. You love your spouse. You may not like them all the time. You know, I do that with the kids. You know, I say that about my kids. I love you, but I don't like you very much right now. There's probably some times in our lives where we love our spouse, but we don't like what they're doing, or we don't care for the decisions that they're making. But we've got to sometimes show grace, forgive each other as God forgave you. Number two is serve with no strings attached. Don't do something for your spouse just so they'll do something else for you. Okay? Don't get into "I'll do this if you'll do this" game. All right? Don't do that. It's never ending, and we tend to keep score, and that's not good. All right? So don't do that. Number three is this morning is provide a safe place for your spouse to be able to vent about stuff. Okay? You know, we don't want to be gossips. All right? We don't want to, you know, go to everybody and air our dirty laundry or other people's dirty laundry or whatever. But sometimes you just got to vent. Sometimes you just got to talk about stuff and be that partner that your spouse can say, "Hey, I just got to tell you about my day and what this person did," and just get it out. And so they can, because if they don't, it just builds up. So provide the safe place for your spouse that they need. Because we need to be really connected. We're one, okay? Going back to the first message where we talked about how God created man, and then He saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so He created woman, and He said, this is why a man leaves his father and mother, and the two become one flesh. Last week in Ephesians, Paul repeated that. Jesus repeated that in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, I believe it is. And there's a theme there. It's when two people get together, something special happens in marriage. And whether you've been married a long time or not, you need to look at your relationship as if you're one. So you can fast forward to those slides that get there. We start out single, okay? Some of us live our lives single a long time. I mean, I know guys have gotten married at 15 or 16. I can guarantee you I wouldn't ready to be married at 15 or 16, but Jenna was. And that's great. Other people stay single for a really long time, and I don't know if you remember Leonard, who used to go to church here, but he spent, I think, 48 years single before he got married, because he was helping out his parents on the farm, and he took that seriously, and so he did his thing with his parents until they passed away, and then he moved on in his life and got married. But we start out single, and then we choose a mate, or we choose a spouse. We choose someone to live life together with. And the Bible says that when we do that, we become one. And I think that's something that we need to really understand. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning as we go through this. What does it mean that the two shall become one? I mean, when we get married, we're still two individuals. We're still two separate people that have different viewpoints on things, that have different ideas of how, quote, life should go. And that doesn't change on the day we get married. But I believe that becoming one is a process of purpose. I believe in my heart that when you get married, you start to become. The Bible doesn't say that when you're together, you are one. It says you become one. So for me, that's verbiage of a process that soon, some people sooner than others, but there will become a day when you can possibly finish each other's sentences. Or you can figure out what your spouse is going to eat on the menu that you've never even seen, but you start looking at the menu and you go, oh, she's going to get that, or he's going to get that. You know, you start to think alike. It's a process of familiarity, of wanting to know your spouse on a more intimate basis. And so we start to begin the process when we're married. We become a completed unit in Christ because we choose, for the Christian marriage at least, we choose to become a husband and a wife, and we're going to live in marriage the way that God created marriage to be. And again, we've talked about this. There are certain things that you set out to do when you get married. And I've given you my examples. You know, I wanted a Christian girl. I wanted someone who has the belief system that I had. So I wanted to marry a Wesleyan, a Methodist, or a Nazarene. You know, that's just what I wanted because I didn't want to have the battles that I see other married people have when one's a Catholic and one was Baptist or something like that. Or Presbyterian versus, you know, Assembly of God. You know, it's not that any of those are bad. It's just they can cause friction in a marriage. And so when we become completed in Christ, when we're married, we have the mindset that we're going to last forever because that's what God wanted. And we are connected in every way. I don't have all the answers because when I read that passage, I still can't fully wrap my head around how the two shall become one. But here's the deal. Like I said, we start out as single. When we decide we like somebody, we are what? We ask him to go out on a date. So we are now dating. If it gets serious, we're a couple. If it gets real serious, we are engaged. And all of those things, when you're dating, it takes two. When you are a couple, there's two. And when you're engaged, there's two. But when you get married, the Bible says we're one. We unite in such a mystical, spiritual way that something happens. In this passage we read, in verse 4, there's two things I'm going to focus on verse 4 and verse 8 this morning. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. Okay? Those are the two things we want to focus on. honor your marriage, be faithful to your spouse. Marriage is what marriage is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? When God created marriage, he took one man and one woman. And just because our culture decides that they're going to observe different types of marriage, that's not what we teach, nor is it what we believe, because that's not what the Bible teaches. And above all, we're going to teach what the Bible says, okay? We're not going to let culture dictate what marriage means. And so when we're one, it's this almost ununderstandable union, yet we can kind of see how it works, especially if you're in a marriage that is working properly. But why does it matter? What does it matter that we are one? Well, it matters because if you're not one, then again, there's that competition. It's, well, I want my way. Or, no, I want my way. Instead of, well, let's figure out how to do this best together. Something happens when we unite in marriage. Okay? It's amazing. You know how, those of you that have children, you know exactly what I mean when I say, when you have your baby, the way that you love your child is indescribable. You if somebody tells, my nephew just had his first son, or first baby daughter, actually, this past week. I can tell just by the stuff that he's placed on Facebook and some of the ways that he's spoken that something just changed in him the day she was born. And I believe that happens in marriage. You may say you love your wife or your husband, or you may say you love the person you're engaged to, but the day that you decide to get married, something changes. Because you've made a decision to do life together. And just as Adam wasn't complete without a helper, Eve wasn't complete without someone to be with either. And God put them together. We have an unbreakable bond when we're married. Especially once that marriage is consummated. Okay? And I don't talk a lot about sex from the pulpit. Don't want to. Just, no, don't do it. But it's a part of being married. Every once in a while, I'll watch an old TV show, and I watch, and I'll see this twin bed, this nightstand, and this twin bed. And I'm like, I've never seen that in real life. It's always on TV. I don't know if they did that just because or whatever, but I actually know of some people whose bedrooms were like that. And I don't want to be a part of a marriage like that. I enjoy sleeping with my wife, okay? It's part of the perks of being married. You get to sleep with each other. That's okay. Do it the right way. Keep the marriage bed pure because that creates a bond that is unbreakable. And when you know, there's a reason why God tells us to be faithful to our spouses, not to have sex before we're married, not to go outside the marriage and have sex. Because when we do, we mess up a bond that God has created. And if we choose to have premarital sex with other people, when you get married, you are committed to that person, and that's wonderful. But I will just be honest with you and tell you that you will always be connected in some way or other to everybody that you choose to have sex with. It's why we tell our kids, don't do it before you're married. It creates problems. And so we need to make sure that that unbreakable bond we keep. And when we get married, we allow vulnerability to surface. There are things that when you are married, hopefully they're not horrible, deep, dark secrets, but there are things that you will tell your spouse after you're married that you didn't tell her before you were married. Even though you were in a committed relationship, you were engaged, there's things that come up after you're married because you start to feel comfortable, safe with the person that you're married to. And they may not know your whole past, but you're able then to share with them some of your past, all of your past, hopefully, because they're the person that you're sharing your life with. And our past does affect our present and our future. So we need to be vulnerable with each other. And how does being one affect us? I mean, how does it really affect us? Well, I believe we become one in purpose. Now, each married couple gets to decide what purpose that is, okay? I'm not going to tell you how you should live your life. You don't tell me how I'm supposed to live my life. But we become focused on a goal or a way of life as a married couple. Some people put their kids on a really high priority. When they have kids, kids are number one, that's it. It's almost like nothing else exists but their kids. And if that's where they want to go, let them go there because they're united in purpose and that's what they want. Other people are focused on other things. None of them are necessarily bad as long as they don't supersede God, because we need to be focused on God, number one. I always tell people my list of priorities is God, family, work, and church. Work and church are the same for me to a certain degree. But even before I was a pastor, it was work and first because I had to provide for my family. And church was the place where I got my strength, I got my spiritual charge every week. The value of the church is exceedingly important in the culture in which we live. We are bombarded by every other thing for hours on end during the week, and we spend an hour together at church. I always tell people, try to spend more than just an hour at church. Try to spend some time other than that, you know, not just doing devotions, but with people in your church. Come to the Bible studies. Do other things with each other. Because we want to be one in purpose. We also begin to think alike. Like I said, we can start to have the same conversation almost in our heads before we actually have it verbally. I will start a conversation sometimes with Nell, and she'll say, I was thinking about that the other day. You know, and that's because we start to think alike and our aspirations align. Our goals become the same. We want the same. We want to do the same things. We want to be in the same places a lot of the times. So it's one of those things where we just have to realize that it's important for us to realize we are one, but yes, we are two, okay? Never think that, well, if she wants this, I have to agree with this all the time because we're one and that she gets her way all the time. That's not healthy in a relationship. The same thing goes with him. Don't give him everything he wants or, you know, surrender your will to him, because while we're one in purpose and we're one in our belief that marriage is important and the way we want our marriage to work, we're still individuals, okay? And when you take the individualism out of marriage, I think it becomes blah, all right? So the purpose of the message series is to tighten the knot. And so the application this morning is simply this. The knot tightens as we give in to God's design. Become one. I may have said it in both services that we've had so far together, but I think it's one of the most important things because I see it being one of the biggest issues, especially between young married people, and that is this. Make sure you share your money. And when I say share your money, I mean put it in the same pot. Because if you're not ready to share your money, you're not ready to share a bed. And it's really important to think about it that way. Because it just creates issues when it's my money, your money type thing. Be careful where you separate a bond that God has put together. Marriage is a wonderful thing that God gave us. It really resembles and is meant to help us understand the relationship that we can have with Jesus and God himself. When you are true to God, when you are trying to serve God, not because you have to, but because you love him, because you want to, your life will be better. The same thing happens in marriage. When you work together because you love each other, marriage will be great. Are there going to be problems that come up? Yes, there will. With God's help, we can work through those things and we can get them fixed. Sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. But do your part as best you can. Stand with me this morning. Father, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for all that you've given to us. Lord, when we think about the institution of marriage that you created, you did it for our good. You did it because you knew that we needed to be together with someone. Lord, I pray for those that are married today that we would keep tightening the knot every day that we're together. For those that haven't tied the knot yet, Lord, I pray that you would send that person to them that they want, that they need, that you have created for them so that they can experience what you created. And Father, for those that are going through tough times in their marriages right now, some have ended, some are on that way, Father, just be with them. Help them to know that you love them, that you care about them, and that you want what's best for them, even though things didn't work out exactly the way you planned, because sin messes everything up. And it really is evident at how Satan really tries to mess with marriages and the family. Help us to be strong. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.